Welcome to the Ghost Rap Podcast. It's fast, it's fun, it's informative. This is your weekly dose of the news that matters on the markets with your host, the Finance Ghost. For more details on these stories and to make sure you get daily updates, visit ghostmail.co.za. The Ghost Rap Podcast is proudly brought to you by Mazars, a leading international audit, tax and advisory firm with a national footprint within South Africa. Welcome to the first ever episode of Ghost Rap. Now, the full value chain of paper and pulp can be found right here on the JSE. You see, at one end, we have primary producer Sappi reporting another record quarter of operating profits. And at the other, we have printing business Novus that nosedived after releasing pretty horrible numbers. Now, in Sappi's Outlook commentary, the management team talked about how demand is tapering off and the impact that this might have on pricing, with the next quarter unlikely to be as lucrative as this one. That is great news for Novus, because a drop in raw material prices suddenly makes the printing business look a whole lot more profitable. But the greatest irony of all is that Novus's share price is the one that has outperformed Sappi this year, giving us another reminder that valuation is everything in this game, not just financial performance. Let's move on to AVI, the FMCG group that is managing to still inch forward, with the chairman's comments at the AGM noting a 9.7% increase in revenue in the quarter ended September. Now, inflation is obviously helping that number, but what inflation does not help with is recovering increases in costs, with most consumer companies really struggling to maintain their margins. AVI made the mature decision to protect its margin rather than push volumes at all costs, but even that could not prevent a significant drop in margin. Operating profits only grew by 2.1%, a very modest growth number, versus revenue up 9.7%. Transaction Capital has grown its earnings in the mid-teens, which is less than the management team hoped to achieve this year, and the pressure is coming through in the SA taxi business, particularly because of the floods and the severe damage that was done to the Toyota factory in KZN. If nobody is selling new taxis, then obviously it's impossible to provide finance for them. Thankfully, another part of the business, which has quickly become perhaps its most important segment, We Buy Cars, has done extremely well. The market is somewhat concerned, however, about used car prices in South Africa and whether they could dip, as we've seen in the US, for example, leaving We Buy Cars with inventory that needs to be cleared at low margins or perhaps even losses. The recent pressure on the share price makes for an interesting opportunity for those who like this company long term, just like I do. Moving on to construction, Murray and Roberts, they announced the sale of their Australian business, giving some breathing room to the balance sheet that is so desperately needed, and the share price jumped nicely in response. Later in the week, the company also announced some traction in its power, industrial and water platform, a business which has really struggled to get anywhere, to be honest, because investment in infrastructure has been so poor in South Africa. Murray and Roberts is down 65% this year, but it's up around 10% in the past week. A balance sheet that is in far more trouble than Murray and Roberts is EOH, a business that now needs to raise 500 million rand through a rights offer, in addition to 100 million rand through a specific issue of shares to BEE Empowerment partner Lebashe. There's no mention of an underwriter anywhere near this rights offer, so the question here is whether shareholders will be willing to support this, and the jury is certainly out on that one. Honestly, with the share price trading well below 4 Rand now, I'm very happy that I got out of this turnaround story at around a break-even level in the low 7 Rands. The Fashini Group is a great example of a company that has been priced for perfection. And you can see it when you look at headline earnings per share for the 6 months to September being up 18.1%, yet the share price dropping 7% on the day results came out. Why is that? I think it's because of the balance sheet, because if you go and dig carefully, you will find that there has been a substantial increase in inventory even after you adjust for the acquisition of Tapestry Brands. Investors seem to be a little bit nervous of such high stock levels and the risks that that brings, of course. But if the group has a great festive trading period, then perhaps the share price drop was actually a useful buying opportunity for punters. As you can see, it was a pretty busy week in the markets, and we've barely even scratched the surface here. We haven't talked about MultiChoice, for example, which is still growing its subscriber base, despite what you may think about everyone switching to Netflix. As always, you can get the details on all of these stories on the Ghostmail website. But before we go, there are two more that I think are worth covering this week. The first is Purple Group, the controlling shareholder of Easy Equities, which is a platform many of you will know and love. The share price has come off hard this year, and this supports my long-held view that the underlying story is fantastic, but the share price just ran away from it. It got a little bit too hot. And after issuing a lot of new shares to acquire the other half of the Rise business, headline earnings per share has taken a pretty big knock. Looking deeper, Easy Equities is profitable, which I think is pretty impressive in this environment. The pandemic was a huge accelerator for the business, and that seems to be sustainable. There was also a very good turnaround at GT247, the more advanced platform for derivative trading, etc. I love the way the underlying group is growing, but I'm still not buying at this valuation. When the valuation looks more palatable, I'll definitely climb into Purple Group shares. And in the final story in this week's Ghost Wrap, Northern Platinum is shooting an Impala, and in this case, it's Impala Platinum. The fight over Royal Bafokeng Platinum has been going on for months now, with Northam trying very hard to block the deal through the Competition Tribunal. Northam is now using money to block it instead by simply making a better offer to the other shareholders in Royal Bafokeng Platinum, and that's an issue for Impala, of course. So now the key question here is, will this kick off a bidding war? Goldfields was willing to walk away from Yamana Gold when that deal got too hot. Impala already holds more than a third in Royal Bafokeng, so it's harder to walk away, and I'm not so sure that the company will throw in the towel just yet. That's a wrap. Join me again next week for this fast-paced view of the most important news in the markets, brought to you by Mazars.